This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. How are you? Are you good? Is everything okay? Was your weekend all right? Are you relaxed? Are you sat back on the slow ride downhill off a fine weekend? So nice to see the sunshine. And it's usually a boring thing to say. I don't normally talk about weather, but the relief was unbelievable. And I forgot the residents of Toronto are, as I always suspected, extremely sexually attractive. And now they're revealing themselves in every possible way. I mean, let's be honest, even when it was -2, people started wearing shorts. They were so desperate. Love that. Snow's clearing. Pop on the shorts. Hang a thong out. Hang a thong out. So I suppose I should tell you that it might sound a bit different. I sound very annoying in my head. I always had an English accent. The new studios haven't changed that. But the compressors, I believe, is the technical term, and some of the other shenanigans, which is another technical term, haven't quite been fixed. So there are a few discrepancies. However, the good ship News Talk 1010 will bash on this regular radio show from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. 1 hour of titillating wonder. Or at least that's the attempt. Never really get away with it, but we'll have a bash. Elliot is the producer. He's always the producer. Normally, he has the ability to talk in my headphones. You can't hear it, but I can. So, for example, if I'm banging on about something, he'll say, "Why don't you speed it up, you British ponce?" But unfortunately, or fortunately, he can't do that today. So we're running wild. It's quite weird because he can see me and we can do, like, body language, but we can't actually communicate unless we're texting each other. It's definitely owned by Bell Media. I think they just want to make money on the text. I think that's how it works. Now, the question is, can you talk on air, Elliot?
I think I can. I believe this works.
Okay, so we just can't do any sort of secret stuff. It's all the nuts and bolts are revealed to the listeners.
More or less.
That seems to be the issue. I mean, I don't want to bang on about this because you've probably been listening to News Talk 1010 a lot and heard about this studio move. And frankly, it's not that interesting for you because it doesn't really affect you. But it does give me a wonderful excuse to say that the show might not be the fine level of utter perfection and exquisite radiography that it always is. I think radiography might be a medical term. But nonetheless, we will bash on. So we've got a guest later on. Her name's Karen McKenna, and she's going to be talking about bees and their plight. And she's very well read, and there's a really interesting protest against one of the chemical companies that could, or I'm sure she'll elaborate, but will be blamed on this ridiculous drop-off in bee numbers. So we're going to talk to her later on, and she's got a tattoo of a bee, so she's obviously quite a fountain of knowledge on the subject. Either that or she's masquerading as someone that knows about bees, but making an enormous effort to do so. We're also going to talk about, what are we going to talk about? People's favourite numbers, and we're going to hear a really, really great story of a guy who can't talk. He's some people wish the same thing on me, no doubt. A guy that can't talk because he's got cerebral palsy, but he's a stand-up comedian. No, actual fact. It's really amazing. So we're going to look at that later on. So I'll start with this. We're on Queen Street. It's groovy. It's hipster town. So I don't know if I have to sort of wear a $300 lumberjack shirt and all the other hipster paraphernalia now that we're located here. But it is a more interesting place than Yonge and St. Clair, I would say. I saw a homeless man outside doing yoga. So you must know that yoga is really catching on when even a homeless man is doing it. He was using his shopping trolley, or shopping cart, I think you call it here, as a leg up. It was quite entertaining. Big bushy beard, one leg up on the trolley, and working it rather well. And I have to say, joking aside, much better than me at yoga. So, you know, it's not just homeless people. It's homeless people that care about their bodies and general mental health and well-being. And I think that's rather fantastic. Good on you, Queen Street. You've always got something to look at. What else is quite good about being here? I keep getting lost. It took an hour to install a printer, and I swore more than I think I've ever sworn. Things like that get on top of me quite badly. And other than that, same old stuff, really. So I should do the phone numbers. I would assume they're the same, are they, Elliot? Nothing's changed there? Bell
yeah,
Media,
yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Bell Media on top of that one. It'd be a bit embarrassing if we had to change our number, what with their power and might. So I assume then it's 416-872-1010. And you can also text the show. All that works. Well, it is a phone company, so I'll tell you what, it is proper hardcore technology. The only thing is, I think it's a bit much with the TVs. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There is 10 flat-screen tellies in here. It's like a sports bar. And I'm one of those people, I was growing up with one TV in the house, which we only, you know, when we put it on, it was a big deal. Everyone sat around and got excited about it. So as soon as I see a TV, I can't not look at it. So I might go into a trance. Or maybe I'll just accidentally start pushing the products that are being sold to me. Do you need a Perfecta Fusion Styler? You can get one for $33.33 Canadian right now by call. Actually, I don't think they paid for that spot. So that's that. I went out last night. Not going to lie, had a few beers. Shoot me. It was a bachelor party, so I think I've got a fairly good excuse. Not mine, but a good one nonetheless. And it was great. Went to this place called, what's it called? Sorry, I forgot what it's called. I know it's on King West. They're all the same on King West. $10 a pint, and everyone's beautiful, and frankly, incredibly shallow. So I fit in beautifully. So I was there, and it was one of those things where I thought, you know what? I've had a couple of beers. I have a cigar once every 2 months or so. And I think tonight's the night. So I never wanted to go to the smoking area, which is a very rare thing, but a good chance to meet people and all that. So, but first of all, I had to get a cigar. So I said to the doorman, I'm just going to pop over the road and get a cigar. And he said, you'll have to pay $10. And I said, okay, I'd rather not, being that I've already paid to get in. And I believe it's somewhere in the region of $100 for a bottle of vodka. And that's what we're drinking. I think we had three bottles, $300. It's criminal, isn't it? I'd say it was daylight robbery, but it wasn't daylight. It was nightlight robbery. Criminal. Unbelievable. But nonetheless, I said, I've already paid an extortionate amount of money to get in here, and I'm having a great time, but I'm not going to pay $10 to go out and come back in. And he said, well, you're going to have to, because, you know, how would I know that you've been in? And I said, because of this conversation that we're having. It's very difficult to not be patronising with an English accent, but sometimes I think it's actually perfectly reasonable. I said because of this. I said, well, you could get me a stamp. He said, we don't do stamps, not a policy. I said, all right, well, how about you just remember this conversation in my face? And he said, to be honest with you, I might not. I see a lot of faces. I said, I'll be back in about 60 seconds. So I'm confident, unless you're smashed Rob Ford Stiley, I reckon you're going to remember this. Why not take a picture of it with your phone? I know it's not a beautiful face, and that makes it more memorable in many ways. Humour was lost. He said, you'll have to pay $10. I said, listen, I'm not paying $10. I'm already paying extortionate amounts for vodka and the cigar I'm about to buy. I'm a reasonable man in a reasonable world. He said, well, you have to talk to the head doorman. I said, where is he? He said, he's outside. I said, why didn't we do this in the beginning? Why have we danced around this with your bloody great ego getting in the way? So out I went, and I said to the man, who was, I would say he was the size of a barn door, at least. I mean, the sort of guy that if he breathed on you, then you would, just a little bit of poo would come out, you know? Menacing, I think is the word. But he was a gentle giant. I said, would you mind if I popped over the road and had a cigar? And he says, no, not at all. I said, would you like anything? He said, no, but thank you for asking. A reasonable, diligent human being in a reasonable world. So when I got my cigar, I come back, I go past the big meathead outside, the big broody fella, the gentle giant, and he was lovely, and said, enjoy the rest of the night. And then I'm confronted again with this guy that I've had the dialogue with. And in possibly the most ridiculous conversation I've ever heard, he pretended to not remember me. You couldn't make it up. So I said, hi, he goes, have you paid? I said, you've got to be joking. I couldn't believe he was doing it. And he goes, as I said, I see a lot of faces. And I went, so you remember saying it then, don't you? To me. I tripped you up with your own logic. Idiot. I didn't say idiot. That was never going to go well. So he said, when people have to, they just have to present themselves with being, you know, the guy. So he said to me, I just want to let you know that I'll let it go this time. but this is not the way we do things, and it's not our policy. So next time, and I interrupted and I said, I'm confident there won't be a next time. So for that reason, I've now remembered the name of the venue, but I won't tell you it because I don't really want to give them any publicity, good or bad. Plus, I'm mildly afraid of a lawsuit. Or perhaps even worse, that man will appear in my room with a horse's head. So there you go, that was that. And then I went and enjoyed a bachelor party. Wasn't aware that the night folk of this particular venue, I'm not sure that they weren't all looking for money. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to say this is definitely the way of things, but I think there were some prostitutes in there. Well, either that or something's changed, because I was chatted up a couple of times by people that are far more attractive than I would ever be allowed. And then at the end, they were sort of hinting that perhaps I'd like to go home with them. Two of them, actually, at the same time, which I'm sure is mildly fun. Actually, let's not say mildly. It's probably more than mild. I haven't done it. I don't know. I wasn't about to do it last night either. But yeah, I was invited to go home with two ladies. But I think they were saying, if you pay us. They sort of said it without saying it. You know, they said, if you're in for fun and perhaps you're a well-off businessman, you can come home with us. So I think they're implying it, aren't they? Kind of shocked me. I'm so wet behind the ears. I am. It's ridiculous. I'm in mid-30s and prostitutes shock me. You might think I'm garish and rude at times. I'm not. I'm a little petal under this. A little wee leaf in the wind. Scared of the big brutish bouncers and the nasty prostitutes. I should just stay at home and do knitting. I don't know why I bother. Now then, what should we do next? Do we need to take a break yet? Yeah? Oh, I can't. He can't talk to me.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that. I want to ask you a question, actually. People, if you wouldn't mind phoning in. Today's question is, if you could rid the world of one thing, what would it be? So I'd like you to phone in, 416-872-1010. Mine's going to be bouncers. And just general stupid people. And people that take things too seriously as well. Throw them in. If you could rid the world of one thing, what would it be? Also, can we get rid of infomercials? Olives. Both George Bushes. The handgun. Drink drivers. Ashley Madison. Donald Trump. Boko Haram. And any other group of people that think it's all right to kidnap women. In God's name. Genius. And olives again, because I really hate them. All right, 416-872-1010. Give us a call. We'll be back in a minute.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Ba, ba, ba. If you want to download this show, you can do that. You can take it wherever you go, hold it close to your heart and enjoy it for the rest of your life. Why not put it on repeat and just listen to it forever, non-stop? Probably because that would be crazy. Vinny White is my name. Vinny, yes, like the Italian, yes, yes, get over it. White, V-I-N-N-E-Y, if you wish. And you can go to vinnywhite.co.uk and download the podcast whenever you want. All right, good stuff. I don't want all these TVs on. How did you turn them off? Do you know?
We're still working on that.
Still working on it. Honestly, it's ridiculous. I just feel like I don't know where to look. And I just went to the toilet and I couldn't find it, so I used the women's. A lot cleaner than the men's. I think that's fairly reflective of the nature of ladies. I left the seat up. Sue me. Crazy. Out there, guy. Oh yeah, even confessed it on the radio. What do you think of that? I'll put it down later. I've been trained well. There are loads of texts come in, which is good, which is actually quite impressive considering I don't think I gave out the text number when I asked you this question, but the text number is 71010. If you get rid of one thing in the world, what would it be? A lot of people going for Donald Trump. I don't know if he's done something terrible recently, but oh, yeah, I understand it. I think just on his hair alone, really, it's justified to get rid of him. I mean, I don't want to murder him, but, you know, if he sort of fell off a boat, would it be a bad thing? Just saying. All. So, yeah, he seems to be the number one person. Someone said Ronald McDonald. Yeah, most clowns. Who likes a clown? They're not even funny, are they? Unless you're, like, three. But then anything's funny when you're three. Or depressing. You cry over milk. You laugh over milk. Doesn't matter. Get rid of clowns. And general joy in the world. I want all joy out. I want this city to be like Ottawa. When you have fun in Ottawa, you feel like you're breaking the law. There are fun police. That's how I felt when I lived there. Good evening, if you're listening in Ottawa. Please ignore that comment. So there you go. Right then. There was a really beautiful story that I saw today. I wanted to share it with you. It's about a guy that's got cerebral palsy in the UK, which of course is never a great way to start a nice cheerful story. But I'm always interested in people that face their adversity and combat it in a really beautiful way. And this guy can't speak, but he wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Now, there's a fairly obvious challenge there, but he got around it, and this is his story.
Stand-up comedy as you've never heard it before. Lee Ridley has no voice, but that's not stopped him becoming something of a sensation on the Newcastle stand-up circuit.
In case you were still in any doubt, I really am disabled. It's definitely not just really good acting. And I'm not just in it for the parking space. When I realised I'd never be able to talk again, I was speechless.
He performed his first gig as Lost Voice Guy in February using a voice synthesizer and is already topping bills at Newcastle's Bar Loco.
I started off in a disabled Steps tribute band. We were called Vamps. I was very ill when I was a baby. As a result, I developed cerebral palsy, which in my case meant I lost my speech and walk funny. So obviously I was never going to make this year's Olympics. I hate that we have so many politically correct words to describe disabled people. Now it's all special needs, special schools, special Olympics. That is why it always alarms me when I hear about special forces going through war. Enjoyed making people laugh, and being a stand-up was my dream job, I suppose.
He's so great, he really is, and hopefully, I really hope that he can come to Canada, because I'd love to go and see him live. He goes on.
I just thought that's all, it was though, a dream. Eventually I decided to give it a go because I knew I'd regret it if I didn't. I think it was better to embrace my disability, both the good and bad parts, and let people see what it's like.
So how does it work? How many jokes have you got stored in there?
You just type in what you want to say, then save it. Then press each saved phrase when you want it to say it. The voice is a bit posh for me, but I think that makes it funnier. I'm still getting used to when to pause and allow laughter. It's trial and error, really. Plus, every audience is different anyway.
This one certainly seemed to be won over.
He was probably the funniest comedian tonight, to be honest. Like shadows rolling with laughter.
Totally on the ball with like comedy right now. The things that he's saying, he knows what people find funny.
Lost Voice Guy has now been booked for his first London show, and big things are being predicted for him.
He is like one of the best I've ever seen. It comes natural to him, and he's bringing like a, you know, instead of disability, an ability instead. So he's just magic.
Yes, Lost Voice Guy is becoming something to shout about.
I hope you enjoy the rest of your night. Goodbye.
Colin Patterson, BBC News, Newcastle.
Oops. Yeah, thanks to the BBC for that report. Absolutely fantastic stuff. If you want to see more of his material, there's a bit on YouTube, Lost Voice Guy, proving that even if you have lost your voice due to cerebral palsy, you can still overcome adversity and become a stand-up comedian. And a really genuinely funny one as well. I think it's somewhat helped by the voice, actually. It's almost comedic delivery. Maybe we should do a radio show like that. Hello, you're listening to Vinny White on News Talk 1010. Coming up, we're talking to Karen McKenna about bees. Do you like bees? I like bees. I like doing that when people phone me up and I think they're trying to sell me something. I quite often say. Hello, and welcome to the automated service for Vinnie White. If you'd like to sell him a product he definitely doesn't want, why not start speaking now? And they're like, hello? Did you want to buy... No, not really. Thanks for calling. Goodbye. Oh, I'm only doing this. You think I'm doing this because I'm trying to be funny. I'm doing it because I want some voiceover work. You know what I'd like to do is the voiceover on the TTC. Have you been on the subway recently? So miserable. Isn't she? What is she, suicidal when she recorded it? Ding, ding, ding. Next stop, Rosedale. Rosedale, next stop. What's wrong? Chin up, love. It's all right. I know you don't live in Rosedale and it would be nice, but come on. I like it. It's much better in England, as everything is. Someone said that. I said that the other day. They said, why do you always talk about England in a radio show? Because I'm from there, and I like some of the things about it. It doesn't mean that I prefer it to here, or I wouldn't be here. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, it is better in England, because you get off... They always gives you the last station. So if you get on the tube in Heathrow, it says, hello. It doesn't say hello, actually. No, it doesn't say hello. But it says, you're on the eastbound service to Cockfosters. Comedy Gold! Cockfosters! See? Why haven't you got one of them? You'd love to live there. Where do you live? Cockfosters. Mental age of 6. Vinnie White's the name. 9:30 is the time. It's live. It's direct. And it's time to look at the world's favourite numbers, ladies and gentlemen. This is a new survey that went out to over 1,000 people, 1,123 to be exact, about the world's favourite numbers. And I thought it would be interesting to read out the top 10 world's favourite numbers. Well, 1,123 individual numbers were nominated from, I made a mistake, 30,000 submissions. Almost half the submissions were from the numbers between 1 and 10. So let's have a look at the top 10 world's favourite numbers. In at number 10 is number 11. Huh? In at number 9 is number 2. Number 2 at number 9. What? Hello? I've just confused myself. Coming in at number 8 in the world's favourite numbers is number 6. Very popular there. Number 7 is... Sorry, at place... I've actually genuinely confused myself. At place 7 is number 9. At number 6 on the top 10 favourite numbers of all time is... Surprisingly... 13. Nice. Number 5 is very easy because it's number 5. Equally, number 4 is number 4. But number 3, the third most favourite number of 30,000 people across the world, is 8. Very popular in Asia. No, no, it is, honestly. Number 2 of the world's favourite numbers is number 3. And at number 1, the favourite number in the world is... 7. I just remembered there's a webcam and I'm dancing around like an Egypt. Quite interesting actually. 472 numbers between 1 and 1,000 were chosen. Every number between 1 and 100 was chosen by at least someone. The lowest whole number that received null points was 110. Thereby you could argue that the lowest number that no one likes is 110. People tended to pick the number that was their birthday unless they were born on the 10th, the 20th or the 30th. No one likes a round number. And no one knows why. Fact! I tell you what. You learn stuff on this show, don't you? I'm not even charging, which is a travesty. Because I spent about, I think it was $200 on vodka last night. Rock and roll. Well, you can't let the bachelor pay, apparently. Yeah, could have been worse. There could have been strippers. Or better, depending on your judgment, really. Okay. Right, what else are we going to do? 7-10-10, I'm asking you questions for no particular reason, really. I just wondered what was the one thing that you'd get rid of, if you could get rid of anything. A lot of nominations so far for Is he? He keeps coming up. Is it the same person that hates him? Donald Trump has been texted in about 100 times. He's gone, hypothetically. Get over it. I wish he would go in real world. Who else have we got? Screw Mike Bullard, VW take over his show. Thanks, Mum. Hillary Clinton's pants and camel toe, text someone. Okay. I mean, I'll be honest, haven't looked. It's weird that you were. You just don't have to look at that part of the screen. And anyway, this is Canada. It's Moose Knuckle. And what else we got? Disgusting creeps and near fatal ignorance. Boom! With ya. Don't know who did that, but I'm loving you. Just ignorance in general. Oh, there's a guy. I'll tell you who else I'm going to put in. There's a guy that lives next to me. I live in South Parkdale, which is the... There's Parkdale sort of coming up, right? Here in Toronto. Parkdale's kind of downtown. It's not far from my new studios, actually. And there's a guy that lives next to me who thinks it's perfectly acceptable to set up a deck chair and a table on my driveway and drink beer all day. And I wouldn't mind if he was attractive. Not that I'm that way inclined, but, you know, at least it would be reasonable to look at the guy. He looks a bit like a Buddha. You know, the fat Buddha. He looks like that. He's got a giant tattoo on his belly. He's going. Can we have him in? Him and Donald Trump. Get rid. So, what else we got coming up? Should we do that now? Yeah, I reckon we can. Let's bring in a guest. It's almost like a proper radio show. I want to talk to Karen McKenna. You may remember Karen was on the show it was a long time ago. It was probably a year ago. And she's all things B. And I'll tell you what, she puts her money where her mouth is because she is so into bees. She's got one tattooed. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Vinny. Thank you for having me on. It was July last time I was on.
Ah, thank you. At least one of us is on the ball. I feel that the vodka I drank last night isn't helping my general sanity and speed.
Have your coffee.
Believe me, I am. So, Karen, how would you describe yourself? I mean, you're a bee lover, but you're also a bee activist, aren't you?
I am. I'm a beekeeper, and I do lots of advocacy work around bees. I've written articles, including in Edible Toronto. I wrote an article called Just Like Canaries in a Coal Mine, after I was on your show talking about the effect of neonicotinoid pesticides. And it's something I'd actually prefer not to do, to be honest. I wish that this wasn't such an issue. I wish I could just go to the field and keep bees and do what I was doing yesterday, wooden wear repair, out on the farm for a couple of hours, enjoying the sunshine and my bees. But I really feel compelled at this point to do something to stop the mass bee die-offs that we're seeing over and over for the past few years.
Yeah, so let's understand this a bit better. And first of all, can I just gloat that the last time you came on the show, so many people listened to it, that you got a little bit of a status and started doing lots of activism and it helped you out. Can I gloat about that?
Holla.
So here you are, you're back again, and it's a show. In many respects, I sort of understand what you're saying. I could almost say it's sad to see you, because to see you is to say that obviously there's a problem still out there, and nothing's, well, maybe something's been done. Let's get to the roots of the problem. So bees, very important, and I'm not just saying that because it's a nice kind of cool eco groovy thing to say. They are really, really important, right?
They're our food supply. Every third bite of food that we have, bees are responsible for the pollination of. So really, when we lose our bees, we lose our food.
And of course, if we're losing our food, we're also losing our flowers, flora, fauna, wildlife that's connected to that as well. So it's an integral building block within an ecosystem, yeah?
Absolutely. And this pesticide has been shown to kill songbirds. So songbirds, monarchs, everything has been affected by neonicotinoids.
So I suppose the first logical question, and let's ignore the huge amount of cash that's probably this answer, but why is anyone using pesticides at all? There must be some benefit to a pesticide for a farmer, is there?
There absolutely are benefits to some pesticides. This particular pesticide, though, has not been proven to have any benefits for the farmer. It does not increase bushels per acre, which is a huge issue in corn production and why farmers tend to use pesticides. It hasn't improve that at all for farmers, and in fact a lot of the insects that this is designed to fight have now become resistant to neonicotinoids, while our beneficial insects continue to be affected in negative ways and death.
Okay, sad, bit of a
terrible
travesty. It's very hard for David and Goliath to fight this fight, but something's got to be done. What are you going to do about it?
Absolutely. And many people have said to me, do something, and I didn't really know what to do. And then I thought of the area in which I grew up where the Pickering Airport lands are, which are over 18,500 acres of expropriated farmland, where the government has threatened for the past 42 years to put in an airport where it's totally not necessary. My bees are actually bordering that land. So in 1972, what the people there did was get together and do lots of street theater. One of the things that they did, their initial response to the announcement was in 1972, they had a mock funeral for Mother Nature. And that inspired me because it's still remembered 42 years later and was instrumental in staving off the airport. So what I decided to do was collect dead bees from beekeepers, use this coffin, and we're going to march at Queen's Park on May the 24th. We're having a requiem for bees. So we're going to process...
What's a requiem for bees?
It's where we say goodbye to our bees because potentially that's what we're looking at.
You're going to make this grown man break down, you know that?
Sad face. I can give you some more honey soap. And the nice thing is this is a very easy fix. This issue has a very easy fix.
Good.
And the National Farmers Union has actually suggested what they've asked for from Senate is they've asked for a ban on neonicotinoids. So farmers themselves do not want to use this pesticide anymore. The thing is the chemical companies have such a monopoly on seeds that it's almost impossible. 99% of Ontario corn is neonicotinoid coated. Most people don't want to eat this who know what it is. And they also, farmers do not want to plant this and have this poison their soil, poison their family's water that maybe they're getting well water from on the farm.
I understand. But they've got a choice, farmers, haven't they?
To some extent they do, but when they have ordered, so this year what I was told by farmers was the ones that ordered non-neonicotinoid coated seeds were told at the last minute that those were no longer available for them and they had to use neonicotinoid coated seeds. So they're, on paper there's a choice, but in reality there's really not a whole lot of choice.
So this mock funeral, are you going to have a coffin?
Yes, I have a coffin that we're decorating, and it is the same coffin that was used in 1972. If there is a lucky coffin out there, I believe I have it.
Sort of an oxymoron, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, like the whole situation.
And what's going to be in the coffin?
Dead bees. We're going to process. There's going to be a silent procession of beekeepers. We're not out there to yell and scream. What we're doing is asking, demanding, actually, for an end to neonicotinoid pesticides. And 93% of beekeepers feel this is the number one issue in beekeeping. 100% of bees agree.
You can tell in the way they flap. Well, I'll tell you what, if they had voices, I'm pretty damn sure you'd be right. So I like the concept. And I'm a big fan of activism and all its manifestations that are non-violent. And I know that's something you certainly stand for. And non-threatening and very peaceful, groovy Canadian. But there is a very good chance that, I'm just going to be a slight pessimist for a moment, there's a good chance that you'll get the attention of Monsanto and some other big boys like Bayer, who have got questionable ethics in this environment, which is great. But they've heard it all before, right? I mean, at what point are they going to do something about it? Couldn't they just say, oh, well, good effort with the old coffin. That's got you a nice front page and some publicity, but we're not going to do anything.
You're absolutely right. What we need is increased public pressure, especially when we come to an election in Canada. We really need the public to step up and help beekeepers. There are less than 7,000 beekeepers in Ontario, and we need your support. We need you to talk to your elected officials and insist that this be an issue in the upcoming elections. This is a number one issue. This is your food supply.
What's going on in the States? I'm sure that's paradise and everything's done perfectly well because they're certainly not in any way fans of big companies there.
Really good question. So what they've seen in Iowa over the past winter is they've seen 70% of their bees die off over the winter. We're expecting to have the same numbers in Ontario. They're expecting to have a minimum 50% bees die off due to sublethal effects or buildup in wax and honey that bees use over the winter in their hives.
So you want publicity. You're getting it. I'm glad, and you certainly deserve it. It is something that deserves attention. Let's try and get a dialogue with Monsanto. Can we talk to them? Have you spoken to the guys at the top?
Many of us have written letters and we've done these protests before. This is just a more visible way of doing it. And as you said, it's not just Monsanto. Monsanto doesn't directly in name produce neonicotinoids. However, they own a company called DeKalb, which does produce neonicotinoid seeds. Bayer is the number one producer. We will be listing and carrying signs against all of these companies and asking for a ban. And as I said, the fix is quite easy. In Italy, neonicotinoids were banned just on corn in 2008. The following year, the bee population came back, and that included honeybees and wild bees. All bees are affected, as well as other pollinators.
Nice. I'm so tempted to do bee puns, but it's the lowest form of wit.
Like, there's lots of buzz about the Requiem for Bees.
Okay, well, you did it. I find that almost annoying as when you go to a restaurant and they do egg puns.
You're welcome.
There's a restaurant called Egg Smart. I can't go there because I hate the egg puns. They're too easy. Come on, we're better than that. Okay, I wish you immense luck. I went beekeeping when I was in Nicaragua recently.
And you've been out to my hives.
I've been to your hives, and that's not a sexual connotation.
Yet.
You've got a... Karen has a lovely set of hives, and I've been all over them. Oh, my God. no, it's worth mentioning that although I love you dearly, and I love bees... did you hit the Freudian slip? I think I said beer.
You did.
It just comes more naturally. I love beer.
You're welcome.
In all
again.
Its manifestations. But no, I love you. I love bees. I love your cause. It's great. I went beekeeping. I didn't like it. I know you're not going to be impressed. I'm not saying I don't like them. It was horrifyingly scary. I don't know why you enjoy it.
It is totally fine to not want to be a beekeeper, but if you like food, and I assume you do, I've seen you eating.
Yeah.
It is a big issue for all of us. So one final thing that I'd like to say is if you are a beekeeper and you'd like to join us, please meet us at the horse statue in Queen's Park at 10:30 a.m. on May the 24th. We are the kickoff to March Against Monsanto. Bring your signs, bring your beekeeping suit, bring your attitude problem. We love you.
How many dead bees have you got?
I have a freezer full right now. I have hundreds of thousands in my freezer. I'm also picking up two or three more barrels. And it was sadly very easy to get dead bees. Within a couple of days of asking, I had offers of millions of bees from both commercial and hobbyist beekeepers.
Right. I don't like getting angry on the radio, but I'm about to do it.
Hit it.
Sometimes you've got it, okay?
Own it.
You're too passive. Here we go. Sort it out! Sort it out!
Danny Onyx!
You're coming on here every bloody few weeks banging on about bees. Stop it! First time I've lost it on this in the new studio. Good acoustics, I thought. Nice, wasn't it? Tempted to do it again. Sort it! I believe in my last life I was an army corporal. And in this one, didn't get the physique.
I don't know if the robot voice would do that as effectively.
We'll try anything. Please remember, if you're Monsanto or Bayer and you're using manifestations of different companies to obscure and hide what you're actually doing with smoke and mirrors, no pun intended, then you must sort your life out. Please sort your life out.
It's good, isn't it?
Time for a break.
If you would like more information, I have a Facebook page that I did after Vinny's last show, and it's www.facebook.com/hihoney. Hi Honey Save the Bees.
Okay. Hi Honey Save the Bees.
Yes, and you can put a link up on your page after the show too.
I promise. Well, if you find me on Facebook, I'm Vinny White, VINNEY. Get over it.
And if you would like clean seeds, because one thing we can also do, all of us, is get clean seeds. I will be selling seeds next Saturday, the 18th at Brickworks with Laura from Cubits Organic Seeds.
Karen McKenna, bee activist. Fine, upstanding woman. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Time for a cheeky little break. We'll come back with something in a minute. News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Yeah, it is. You can download it, vinnywhite.co.uk. It's a podcast that's there for free for you to love, hold, cherish and deliver. So I asked you earlier to text in with, if you could get rid of one thing in the world, what would you get rid of? Unsurprisingly, a lot of people just texted in Monsanto. Impact. It's 71010 if you want to text me. Someone said, stupid people. Well, we did that last week. I'll tell you what, I'd love to. I thought of a great idea for a show, actually. It's called The Banisher, where I get to banish people from living in this country. I appreciate that it might cause a bit of offence, but it's all right. I just thought, you know, every time I meet someone stupid, I just send them to Australia. It's what the Brits used to do with criminals. Just do it with stupid people. And you could have, like, I'd banish people. So every time, like that bouncer last night, he said I couldn't go and buy a cigar without paying $10 to get in. I'd just say, sorry, you're banished. And then you just get scooped up. Like, by, you know, those hands that come down when you're at the fair, at the X, you know, and those mechanical hands, you just get scooped up onto a spaceship and taken to Australia. I don't know why a spaceship. If I say any more stupid things, I might banish myself at this rate. So there you go. And someone texted in, I'll tell you who I would get rid of if I could get rid of one person. The security at Wonderland. And that's all they say, but I looked into this and I found out why they said it. Mum stunned she couldn't bring baby's lunch into Canada's Wonderland. Canada's Wonderland spokesman says security guard goofed at the gate when mother told babies... when mother was told that her baby's three-item lunch wasn't allowed into the park. Melissa Hart said she was stunned when told by a guard at the gate of Canada's Wonderland that she couldn't bring in Baby Max's packed lunch during a family visit to the park yesterday. Wonderland says the guard goofed, and in fact, baby food is allowed in the park. Well, that's kind of you. It's all give with Wonderland. Max woke, only has four teeth, so his mum, Melissa, makes sure that he takes soft food. She takes soft food for him on family trips. I think it's fairly standard stuff if you've got a baby. You do tend to have to feed them. I'm fairly confident if you don't, it might be child abuse. A much-anticipated trip to Canada's Wonderland yesterday was a bitter disappointment when Hart was told by a security guard that she couldn't bring in a three-item lunch. And it was a piece of bread with peanut butter, a baby yogurt. I said yogurt, wanted to say yogurt. I'm assimilating. And a package of baby food, explains Hart in an interview after blogging about the incident on the website napsandsprinkles.com. I guess it's about babies, is it? Can you look up, Karen's still in the studio, can you look up napsandsprinkles.com? I don't think it's porn.
Sounds terrible.
You've got a computer there.
It sounds like baby pee, no thanks.
I kept saying it's only baby food, she says, adding that she looked for another person to whom she could plead her case. I love that when you have to do that. It's not just me,
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, look it up. I want to see it. I expected it was one guard being overly strong. We assumed someone else would be more lenient. And then they've apologised. It's kind of discrimination, she says. It's not kind of discrimination. It is discrimination. Actually, it's more stupidity than discrimination. I was so taken aback. The spokesman for the park says the toddler and baby food is indeed allowed into the park and in a sealed bag. What? What is this? Why? Just take it in whatever you want. So too is plastic bottled water. She got a full refund and a family pass. Good! I tell you what, the lunatics are running the asylum sometimes, aren't they?